I don't want to brag about it, but I have a couple something in common with a couple of spiritual men this morning. George, your wife told me I was a lot like yours and a lot like you, and I know Lloyd is similar. I can't hear today. So I've got a sinus infection, and I feel like I've got those ear muffs on, you know, and you can't hear, or you've got a box over your head and you're trying to talk. Now that's the situation I'm in today, but we're going to get through this, and if you talk to me and I act like I'm ignoring you, that's not the problem today. I just can't hear, especially out of my left ear. Before I get into today's thoughts and report and lesson, I would mention that I'm really looking forward to next week. Not that I'm looking forward to this week, not this week, but next week, we're anticipating and we're going to celebrate Laura's going to be celebrating her 100th birthday. And so we're going to expect a big crowd, next Sunday in worship. So don't be surprised if you, maybe get shoved to the center or displaced to a new pew or something like that. Be aware, we're expecting a large group next Sunday. I look forward to my lesson's going to be centered on family and the church. I'm looking forward to that. Been thinking about it for a period of time when I knew I was going to be talking that morning, and then because of those circumstances, I wanted to share on that. So just to remind you that there's a lot of things going to be going on next weekend, and so I look forward to that. And I want to, I feel somewhat, with great enthusiasm, but I also feel somewhat obligation to give a report each year about Silver Maple Camp, because there is a great partnership that the congregation here has in Silver Maple Camp. Because a great deal of my time is spent working with camp, and I think as any outreach work, it's important that we hear what's going on, what's being done. And so I've kind of historically the last few years, I've given a report, following, at this time, and so I intend to do that again today. And oftentimes you see me before you talking about physical things, and I'm going to share with you, there is the opposite side. As a camp board, as a camp president, I deal with a lot of spiritual, issues as well. And I'll touch upon those and as we move forward this morning. When you look at camp, and this happens to be third session this year, you can't help but be, when you see all the kids and all the potential and all the souls there, it motivates you to work. It motivates you to be involved and you see the potential. And so, I'm just thankful for the opportunity. And I kept a little bit of track of time this spring, because I know I'm involved at camp a lot. But there was one stretch in May when I was at camp for 16 days in a row. That meant I was there on Sundays after our time together. I had went down and did things. And there were 16 days in May. There was 14 days in April that I was there straight. But I don't begrudge that. I look at it as an opportunity and I take it seriously, what the opportunity and I think, because I can look out in the audience and see, I've drugged you, a lot of you into that. And I hope it's not a dragging, but an actual partnership and participation. I wished I deleted a picture this week that I shouldn't have done that of Chris up on top of the counter in the kitchen with his cutoff saw, sawing the old counter in half right before we tore it out this spring. I should have showed that today. It just occurred to me, wow, I blew that one. And I deleted it, Chris, so nobody will ever see you up on the counter sawing. But when you talk about physical things that we've done at camp this past year, we did remodel the kitchen. And I don't have a picture of that this morning. I think I've got a picture of my wife in the kitchen. But that was to focus on my wife, not not the kitchen. But we did remodel the kitchen, and that was a major project. Thankfully, there was a great deal of money given to take care of that obligation, and it was funds were raised very easily. And I'm thankful that other people, other churches see the value and the commitment. And I set a budget of $50,000 originally to do this, and then the money just kept coming in, so I raised it to $70,000, and then I raised it another $10,000, and we still had money left over, which is good. But we put a new floor in, we put all new stainless steel countertops, a new serving line. I mean, we updated it. And part of what, and I'm going to actually read you a policy statement of what really governs and directs us as a camp board and how I have to operate. And this is an actual policy statement that and I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen. This is an actual policy statement that we as a camp board have. The purpose of Silver Maple Camp is to provide a place for the enhancement, development, and strengthening of the faith in our Lord. The environment of the board-sanctioned camps is designed to provide both physical and spiritual safety. And because of that responsibility, we do not wish to support or provide a platform for innovation that is not in keeping with the practices and teachings that are found in our fellowship as supported in Scripture. This includes teachings that err into rigid legalism on the right or formless liberalism on the left. Instead, we as a board will do our best to encourage the camp to be used for the strengthening of unity, growth in the Lord, and preparing His people for His service. And that's what we focus on. And, you know, go back in that original statement, you know, we provide for both the physical and spiritual safety of the campers. And so as a board, you know, when we talk about kitchen facilities, well, why do we do that? Well, it wasn't just to make life easier for the cooks. It's about safety. It's about food safety for the campers. And I can't help but think this morning as we remember the passing of Dorotha, who was a longtime cook at camp. And some of you have been there to the old facilities that sat on the west side of the camp. And it was a screened-in porch, I guess, was the kitchen. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they often wore, they had three trash cans, what we might call barrels. They're not trash cans. Three barrels that they dipped the cleaned and washed all the plates in. Is that, I mean, am I getting way off there, Pam? Okay. Things have progressed. Now we have nice three stainless steel with a special deal that delivers the right amount of sanitation, the right amount of soap and all those things. You push a button, it does it automatically, and it's all, you know, done right. But I appreciate the people like Dorotha who didn't work in very good conditions. But I'm convinced they did a good job, but it wasn't easy. I mean, it was hard. It's still hard work. But that's part of why we do those projects is for physical safety. When we have to look at things from a safety standpoint. And so that's why the kitchen. This past year we also created a swing set for younger kids that you'll find on the east side, and also created a small water slide for little kids. Let me share with you my dream that for this next year, I've already started on it, is we're going to have a great big water slide, floating water slide in the lake for the kids to climb and slide into the lake. And I've got the pontoon boat acquired, and we're going to mount slides on it so it, you know, camp provides, you know, you like it to be something that, you know, it's some of these kids, it's a once in a life, I mean, it's a once a year opportunity for them to be in places and do things that they don't get to do otherwise. But it's not all about just entertainment. Believe me, it's far from about entertainment. But it's about providing a place where they feel comfortable, where it's fun, and yet the environment is safe and where they can. It's a unique environment, and I've been reminded several times recently that sometimes this week of camp is the one opportunity that some of these kids have to see that life, there's other options to life than what they're stuck in homes. And unfortunately, we see those types of disastrous situations that are about. I mean, and I hear about them and I'm at camp. I refer you just as an example, and just think about the toddler that was lost this past week being left in a car because somebody was using drugs. Now, some of these kids may come from environments like that. And this is an opportunity we have. One, just maybe a chance to show them that there's other ways to live, and there's other ways, and there is hope. And so, that's why camp is so important. That's why when you look at all these kids, and let me share from a standpoint, we had record numbers at camp this year. Now, I tend to think of Silver Maple Camp's physical year as kind of like ending and we're starting another year right now because there's a lot, and I'm going to refer to some things going on, but again, look at the faces. These are kids from third session, and mostly we got mostly young people, but then there's some older people involved in that mature. I don't know how to make this point. Is there a pointer on this thing? All right, there. As Dina Fausch from Salina. She's a school teacher. I don't know how old Dina would be, but probably in her 40s, maybe 50, probably 50s. Tony Cassie is right there. He's about the same age I am from down in Oklahoma. But there's both a mixture of people. There are people who are committed to camp and sitting right next to Tony is I don't know if that's a little redheaded girl there. Quite a contrast. I like this picture because Fred, this is, remember the jungle you and I kept always talking about? We were going to get rid of all those trees. And, well, this is the jungle that was used to set on the backside of the girls' cabins. And now it's a great play area for kids. It's being utilized. It's a really nice area, and I look fondly, thinking about what it used to be and what it is today, and just the opportunities for kids one of the good things about camp is that there's spiritual applications being taught all the time to kids, and I know this was an obstacle course. They were blindfolded because I remember helping create the obstacle course, that I don't know all exactly what they're teaching, but the black minister in the middle there is from Oklahoma City, does a tremendous job at camp and teaching and sharing God's word. And so, I jumped. Again, just another activity. Look at the mass of kids and the opportunity. Now, I often I'm at the focus of you and the work that gets done at camp. But believe me, Pam does just as much, if not more, than I do. And she works hard, during the three camp sessions. She cooked, two sessions. She was helped teach in the day camp, one session. And so, not only during this period of time, but she spends a great deal of time, involved with the camp work and encouraging me. Sometimes I think her commitment level's much higher than mine about camp. And she's helped me reflect and keep things in perspective, and I appreciate, it's good to work as a team together. And this is something that so when I talk about our partnership and your support to me, well, you're getting more than just me, a great deal more, and and Pam is a part of that, and I am thankful for that. Just activity at camp, it's just again a mass of kids and a mass of opportunity. It all leads to kids becoming to know Christ and making that beginning in their lives and that transformation. Now, Mike, this didn't happen this year. This is Mike Couch. I put it up there because you know Mike. And I'm thankful. Mike, even though Mike's not on the board anymore and he actually couldn't serve as a counselor, he was there a couple times. But not only was Mike there, but he was there represented by his daughters, because his daughter was there helping in the kitchen. And then his son-in-law now, who lives at Pratt and who is very active in the congregation, Dan Bloom, was a part of our camp this year. And so I'm thankful for Mike's, you know, and you see that influence of a good father. And so these are pictures but this scene that I'm sharing with you has taken place a lot at camp this past year. And I don't know the actual number of baptisms. It was somewhere between 20 and 30. That took place during the 3 weeks that I was there. There were lots of evenings. There would be at least 4 baptisms a evening. And I know there were a lot of baptisms following camp, because I know the Hanson girl, I don't remember which one of them. I was sitting there with Bert and Bert and I were talking with her, and she was wanting to be baptized, and they always call parents and talk about it. They wanted to wait till she went home, and I know she was baptized that next week. I know of a number of other situations like that. So, you know, that's what camp is about. When I think about this past year, where we've grown, which is great. We've had an active marketing program, and we're going to grow some more. I'm anticipating that we're going to, you know, add another session next year for young kids. There is a challenge, though, that I'm going to share a little bit with you, is that it's because the actual teen camp sessions have declined somewhat. We have less teenagers being a part of camp. Especially those that are 16, 17, 18 years old. We have a lot less of those at camp. And it's a competition with all the sports camps, the volleyball tournaments, the basketball tournaments, the football camps. I mean, all those things, music camps, all that is in competition, and jobs as well. But rather than anguish, I mean, we're still going to continue to provide that opportunity. We had a good teen session this year, but we are looking at focusing on growing those camps that serve kids from 8 to 13, because they seem much more available and they are certainly receptive to listening to God's Word. And so that's going to be one of our real focuses as a camp. We're going to grow another session this next year. I'm anticipating it will be in early June. Sonny Banning has talked to me about leading that, and that's pretty exciting because Sonny has the abilities and will create a team that can do good things. And we have a need, because actually the cabins were full in 2 sessions. We couldn't, especially on the girls' side, we couldn't take another camper. We were overcrowded and we couldn't. And then I know of a possibility, and I will share this with you because it's exciting. When I had a United Methodist Church from Goddard come to me and said, and came and spent a day with me at camp. And they say, we want to send our kids to a biblically based camp where they're actually teaching the Bible and doing spiritual things. And the youth minister that's in charge of education spent the day with me at camp. And we just went to classes. We talked about philosophy. We talked about doctrine. You know, they're looking at sending up to 60 kids to our camp. Well, right now I can't handle them. There was 40 of them that are the 8 to 13 year old age. I'm already full there, so we've got to grow, which is good. And I knew that even before they came to me and talked about that. But it's exciting that people want to, study from the Word and live biblically based lives. And if we can, if we have that opportunity to teach, then that's what we need to be about. There are, you know, camp is more than just those three sessions that we often focus on. There, you know, there's a ladies retreat that takes place in September. There's a men's retreat that's going to take place in October this year. And then there's also another Silver Maple sponsored retreat in November this year where John Smith, and I don't know John at all, but he's a nationally recognized speaker. His lessons will be it'll be a Friday and a Saturday, Friday evening, Saturday thing on November 15th, and he'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. He has a national following, and then in 2015, we already have dates prepared, plans made. Jerry and Lynn Jones, they've just released a new book about marriage and remarriage and divorce. They will be speaking. Keith Lancaster from the group Acapella will be there. You know, we're anticipating, you know, that we will, we've already had people making reservations for 2015. We anticipate we'll sell out at 300, the limit will be 300 people, and we'll sell out. Other things, that's just some other things. In September, I've developed a youth minister, one day youth ministers retreat where I've invited youth ministers from all over, from Kansas, Oklahoma, from all walks of faith to come to camp to listen to a presentation from a man from ACU. He will be talking about utilizing technology to teach, to connect to the youth and to teach the Word. I only visit with Houston Heflin on the phone, but I'm anticipating and looking forward to those opportunities. So, you know, obviously if we can get youth ministers and youth directors at camp and see our facilities, we're hoping then they send kids to our camp. And that's part of our marketing plan, I guess. There will be, what I wanted you to see is there's a lot of other things just going on besides. Though we actually in June, and we had a new session for kids from 18 to 28 or 29 that college age and above that are single. We had a retreat for them that weekend. It was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing, and so we're growing. We're doing more things. We're gonna contact. Utilize the facilities for more people and more teaching. And so, you know, that's part of where we're headed. Financially, the camp is strong, meaning better position than it's been in 60 years, I guess. We don't have to figure out how we're going to pay the light bill, you know. And I've unfortunately seen those times, but we're in a strong position where we can, you know, if there are emergencies come up, we can take care of them. And then that happens. But we have some reserve. We have funds. We're ready to operate for the next year. We're still, as we do the capital projects, we're going to have to raise funds. Camp doesn't, we still are dependent on gifts. I mean, we still have to give camp scholarships to a lot of kids. I try to, as those requests come in, I try to see that they are met by congregations that are there, available, that connect them with the congregation and let them connect with them. We also beginning plans. We have plans for a new adult retreat center that will be west of the creek. And where that will provide adult-friendly housing, more like a motel situation where you have a room and you have a bathroom and shower there with your room. And that's something we're going to look at and we'll be dealing with here in our board meeting in August. And so those are just a few insights, and now I really haven't got to the spiritual things I wanted to do. There are a lot of things going on, and maybe my ears have slowed me down this morning. But a lot of things going on, but I want to refer you to a couple scriptures, and we'll close this up. One of the, turn with me if you have your Bibles, and I don't have this on the screen, is found in 2 Corinthians 5, I want to focus on verse 17. Why will not this not bring it up? Let's go to enough. May have to borrow somebody's Bible. For some reason, my iPad is like locked up.
It's kind of interesting. I think they do the updates on Sunday mornings.
I'll begin in reading with verse 11, and verse 17 is the one that I want to focus on. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but to give you an opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer to those who glory in appearance and not in heart. For we are beside ourselves. It is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus, and that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, where I want to take you, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old have passed away. Behold, all these things have become new. One of the things I think that I think that we need to do at camp is that people need to understand what God's done and what changes take place. They have to understand that Christ has died. He was crucified, as Chris shared, that he's died for us. They need to know that story. They also need to know that they are a new creation, that there is forgiveness. And that's one of the things that, you know, I think as that we need to be sharing with kids. And that's one of the focuses. They have to be converted. They have to be convicted, I guess. Secondly, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, reading verses 11 and 12, since I got way out of whack here on my time. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some to be some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. What we need to do, another goal of camp, is we need to equip people. We need to be bodybuilders, I guess. And you go back to that game that you saw them doing. They were equipping kids to learn to trust, I thank God. Learning about trust. We need to equip people. That should be a goal of our camp, is to equip people. Now, how can all this, but can camp do all this? No, not really. We can't do it all. We can initiate. We can get it started. And we can make things, make transformation begin. But it's going to take parents, grandparents, churches at home to really do a lot of the work. They need to see that they need to see the word consistently demonstrated in people's lives around them. And that's what's so scary about there's some kids just do not have nearly the opportunity and the chance to see that happen. I'm reminded of a scripture found in Proverbs. I believe it's 22. Yeah. In Proverbs 22:6. And this will be my last scripture. And I thought I was going to quit early, and I'm not even close to being early. In Proverbs 22, in verse 6, if I get there. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I see that demonstrated again and again. Yet, we need to remind ourselves. When I think of Mike Couch up here, how he trained his children, and then I see them grow up there. You know, camp can do a lot, but yet we need parents. We need grandparents that will continue to that training and will follow up. We need churches that are committed to doing that. I'm excited that of the transformation, the changes I see in kids' lives, and I see people come back to camp that kids that I saw were kind of on the periphery. In fact, I make it a challenge to myself at camp. I try to notice the kids that are kind of out there. They're off by themselves. They're not necessarily, you know, connecting. I try to make special effort to connect with those kids. They may feel somewhat alienated. They may not see fit into the mainstream of things. I make a special effort to try to connect to those kids when I'm at camp. You know, I have a unique opportunity because I'm not necessarily designated to be doing something for all these counselors. I'm not saying they overlook those, but you can find those kids. We can initiate that. We can share the word with them. But we as a church family, as a parents, have to continue to live, demonstrate and to preach or teach that daily. That's what will ensure the likelihood that when they're in their 20s, they'll still be attending church. I could have shared with you, and I had a great deal of statistics, kind of in light of Shirley and I were connecting about their granddaughter going to college, and I did a little research this week, and I looked at, you know, percentages, you know, and we know that there is a huge percentage of kids that stop going to church at that point in history in their lives. But we can change that by utilizing the three scriptures I shared with you today. Utilizing camp to help build relationships with others too. I'm thankful that we are a new creation, that we are changed because of the blood of Christ, because of His sacrifice. We're going to sing an invitation song that gives you an opportunity, if there is a need, to respond that way. If you have questions and you want to talk to me this week, be sure to get a hold of me. I'd like to visit with you about that. I thank you for the opportunity to serve, to be a part of Silver Maple Camp and to be a part of this congregation. I never envisioned that's where my life was going to lead me, but I'm convinced I'm doing what God wants me to be doing. And I've made a commitment to continue to do that until He points me in a different direction. Let's stand and sing the song. Jerry, can you start that for me?